Hello there. It's a joy to be with you this morning. And today we're looking at trusting God in a time of fear and uncertainty. And I don't know what your nighttime rituals are, but a few weeks ago, Alison and I stayed up well past our bedtime, and we were both truly zonked. And after we hit the mattress, I opened the Bible pretty much at random, which I know is not the right way to go about it, but just to read a few verses before we fell asleep. And these words, which my eyes landed on, just hit me. It said, "Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent." That's Psalm 91, 9 to 10. I'll just read that again. "Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent." Now, this didn't feel like a coincidence. Just when Britain had started to take seriously the threat posed by coronavirus, here was a verse about God protecting his people from plague. We have a God of freedom and power who can speak into any situation through his word. And just as we send each other text messages, God can shock us out of our slumber with a pertinent verse. But I was also struck by how this ancient psalm suddenly had a new relevance. Until recently, when I saw words like plague, I would have thought that's something which affected people in the distant past. But here we are in 2020, confined to our homes by a pandemic. Normal life has come to a complete stop. Shops and cafes are shuttered, and new fears swirl through the streets. Fear and uncertainty have gripped hearts across the country. And there's so many things we might be frightened about. We might worry about the loss of jobs and income and our ability to provide for our family, the loss of people we love, or the pain of isolation that vulnerable individuals might suffer, men and women that we can't visit any longer. We might be frightened about the possibility of experiencing physical suffering, and such fears are not irrational. We worry about the welfare of friends and family because we love these people and are distressed by any possibility that they could experience anguish. It's the mark of a Christian that we share in one another's sufferings. God doesn't tell us that our fears are stupid, but one of the messages God repeatedly tells his people is, "Do not be afraid." This is what Jesus said in John 14, 27. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Jesus spoke these words shortly before his arrest and crucifixion. He knew the disciples' world was about to be shattered, but he promised them peace. This peace is nothing less than a gift direct from Jesus. He didn't tell his friends that their lives would be peaceful. Times of convulsion were just around the corner. But he told them that their hearts need not be troubled and they did not need to be afraid. God's children would know his peace because they would know him. Jesus would send his Holy Spirit, which is sometimes translated as the Comforter, the Counselor, the Helper, or the Advocate, to be with us. These are his words in from John 16:7. "I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." And God knows better than any of us what you need right here, right now. He created you. You are one of his beloved creatures, and he knows just how much food and rest you need at this testing time to get through each day. We can hold on to these beautiful words from Proverbs 3:24. "When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. We're by no means the first believers to face a pandemic. Perhaps because the afterlife was not a realm of terror for the early Christians, but a source of hope, there are accounts of how they loved their neighbours with astounding courage and self-sacrifice. Faith in Jesus inspired people to do incredible things. And by showing love, they transformed their culture, changing the very idea of what it means to be human. Over the centuries, people abandoned loveless paganism and were baptized into the church. We can pray that the church's response to this crisis will be unforgettable in its love, and that the grace of God will relieve millions of their fears. Christians can also use the power of prayer as a weapon against this virus. This virus is a terrible reminder that we live in a fallen creation, polluted by the consequences of sin. Coronavirus, like other sicknesses, brings death and distress. God's children can pray in Jesus' name that God will smite this virus from the earth and stop the pandemic in its tracks. We can pray that God will grant genius and breakthroughs to all those who are working for a vaccine. We can pray that hospitals will be stocked with the equipment and the supplies that are needed. And we can pray that everyone who's infected with the virus will be healed and that God will protect emergency workers from all harm. The Bible reveals such a God of healing and miracles. This crisis is an opportunity for the church to transform reality once more through the power of prayer. The poet John Donne was no stranger to plague, but he also knew the magnitude of God's might, which can bring hope to situations where others see nothing but despair. He became a preacher in London and said, "He brought light out of darkness, not out of a lesser light. He can bring thy summer out of winter, though thou have no spring." And even though we hold to these truths, it can be daunting to live with uncertainty. People in Britain today are trained almost from birth to carefully lay out elaborate plans for our careers and families. And suddenly, instead of just talking about the importance of trusting God, we have to put our beliefs into practice and trust Him with all of our worries. We have to follow the instruction that's laid out in 1 Peter 5:7. This is, cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. And it can be our hope that when this crisis is over, our trust in God will have been strengthened. We'll enjoy a closer relationship with Him. This is the advice that the Apostle Paul delivered in Philippians chapter 4, 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You are God's children. If you are concerned about anything in His creation, tell Him about it in prayer. If Paul was here today, He would urge us to keep thanking our Father for all the good things He has given us. In times of fear and uncertainty, we see the wonder of tenderness, the miracle of a family's love, the treasures of friendship, and the strength of compassion. There is just so much to praise God for as we trust Him and receive His peace, knowing that Jesus Himself is guarding our hearts and our minds. Have you seen the film The King's Speech? In Christmas 1939, when the virus of Nazi fascism had poisoned Germany and Britain was heading into years of terrifying war, King George VI delivered a speech by radio to the British Empire, which he quoted from this poem by Minnie Louise Hoskins. It goes, And I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way. So I went forth, and finding the hand of God, trod gladly into the night. This is the time for all of us to reach out for the hand of God. We do not have to fear the darkness. We cannot see what awaits us or our country, but truly, we are in the clutch of a loving Father. Let's pray. Father, you know our fears, you know our uncertainties, you know how our plans have been changed in the last few weeks. We know that our hearts are torn with fear sometimes for what could befall some of the people we love most. But Lord, we trust in your peace. We trust in your goodness. We know you hold eternity itself in your hands, and you hold us in your hands. And we thank you and praise you for that love. Come, Lord, with your miraculous healing. Come, Lord, with your wisdom. Come with your great gifts. Forgive us our sins and heal our land and heal our world. We pray for the most vulnerable, for all those who have most to lose. Lord, be a loving Father to them. Adopt them as your children and bring them into your home, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.